If you have a Bible, turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. I want to look at something here in the 23rd Psalm. It's a very familiar chapter with many people. A lot of times we hear this little chapter read at funerals. I don't know if you've been to a funeral lately. But a lot of times preachers will use the 23rd Psalm at a funeral. I don't want to do that. I want to talk to you about something Jesus says a little further over in the New Testament about this shepherd. And it's not just going through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the reason they read that psalm at funerals, because it talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death. But we're going to look at life. We're going to look at life today. Psalms 23, let's just read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I won't want for anything. When he says I shall not want, it means he won't want for anything. His needs will have been met. He, the shepherd, makes me to lie down in green pastures. He, the shepherd, leads me beside the still waters. He, the shepherd, restores my soul. He, the shepherd, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his purposes, for his plans. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, the shepherd, are with me. And your rod, the shepherd's rod, and the shepherd's staff, they comfort me. Yes. You, the shepherd, prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You, the shepherd, anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, the shepherd, forever. Now, let's go to John chapter 10. And let's see what the shepherd himself has to say. David was the instrument that God used to write down that 23rd Psalm. By the Spirit of God, David got that Psalm. But here in John chapter 10, Jesus, the shepherd, is talking to us here. John chapter 10, verse 1. Let's just read. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. We talked about this once before, at least once before. Who knows what the sheepfold is? He said the earth, and he's right. You say, well, why? I hate to erase that. Well, I can. I'm just...
Yeah, you can erase it with another...
Okay. There's nothing wrong with it here. The earth, he said, is the sheepfold. Why is the earth the sheepfold? Because men, the Bible says, men are the sheep of God's pasture. So the earth is the sheepfold. Now listen to what Jesus said. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. How do you get here? How do you get in the earth? How did you get here? You were born into this earth. You didn't just happen. You were born into this earth. Right? And so, if the earth is the sheepfold, the earth is the sheepfold, and you have to be born to get in the earth, so the door, listen, let me read it, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. To get into the earth, you have to be born here, so the door is the womb of a woman. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's the door.
The vault.
Huh?
Another word, the vault.
I didn't understand you.
V-U-L-V-A. Vulva.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but no. Well, yeah, the womb, but her womb. You had to go come through the womb of a woman to be born into this earth.
Birth canal,
whatever you want to say. That's how all of us got here. But he who enters by the door is the same as the thief and a robber, is the same as the shepherd of the sheep. All right, so he says one that climbs up of some other way. Now, we got to go all the way back over here to the Garden of Eden. Adam was not born, was he?
No.
God created him. Somebody says, did Adam have a navel? I don't know. He wasn't born, though. He was created. Now, you got to think a little bit. Nothing wrong with reading the Bible and thinking. So Adam was put here in the earth, in the garden. Let's just say this was the garden. I'll just draw a couple of lines there, and that's the garden, Eden. We don't know where it was for sure, but God put him there. He was not born. And he was put there by God, right? Now, as you read the scripture, in the third chapter, another entity shows up there. Now, the serpent. Eve wasn't born either. She was taken out of Adam's side, according to the Bible. Y'all looking at me funny because I'm talking about some stuff you ain't ever thought about before. But she wasn't born either. But she was put there in the earth on purpose. God put her there. So if God put her there, if God put Adam there, they were there legally, right?
Right.
What Jesus is talking about is everybody else after them. To get in the sheepfold today, you have to come through the womb of a woman. That third person that came there, there was Adam and Eve in the garden. They were put there by God. They were not born, they were created. But there's another one, the serpent. Now, let's just talk a little more. The Bible says in the first chapter that God created all kinds of animals, even creeping things, it says. Snakes. So I think serpents or snakes were part of that creation. I really do. I don't think they just happened after the fact. But there was another spirit being that came into the earth from outside. The serpent, that spirit, I believe that was Satan. He's a spirit being. Did you know that? He came into the earth and he came in illegally. He wasn't born. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Let me read it again. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, he's differentiating, Jesus is differentiating between himself and this serpent, this Satan. He came into the earth illegally and he came to steal from Adam and Eve something that God gave them. Can anybody tell me what God gave to Adam and Eve?
Dominion.
He gave them dominion. It says that in Genesis chapter 1 that he gave man dominion over all the works of his hands. You can read it in Genesis 1, and you can read in Psalms 8 verse 6 that God gave man dominion over all the works of his hand. And so they were in the earth, Adam and Eve were in this earth, They were put there on purpose, but Satan came in illegally. He didn't have a right to be there. You say, well, how come God didn't stop him? The reason why God didn't stop him is because the one that was supposed to stop him is this guy. Do you know why Adam could have stopped him? Adam had dominion. He had authority in the earth, but he didn't use it. That's a whole other teaching. But the fact is, he didn't use the authority that God gave him. So what happened was, whenever Adam and Eve submitted to this thief that came into the earth illegally, they came under his authority. They obeyed him rather than obeying Almighty God. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, there's... Go back to Genesis chapter 3 and let me show you something. Genesis chapter 3. And let's look at something that God said. Verse 14. This is after they had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and all that of the problem had begun. Genesis 3:14, it says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this," in other words, he came into the place illegally, "because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity," listen to what it says, God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." So what, right there, listen to me, right there is a prophecy from God, a word spoken from God concerning one who would overcome the serpent. It's a prophetic word concerning Jesus. He's called the seed of the woman. That's Jesus. He's not the seed of Adam. He's the seed of the woman. His father, this child that was born through her, his father is Almighty God. Do you understand that? Mary didn't give birth because Joseph impregnated her. The Bible says she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a physical union, it was a spiritual thing that God did. How many of you know God could do that? If He's God. If you really believe He's God, then He could do that. So, here, Jesus, how many of you know Jesus was born through the womb of a woman?
Yeah.
He was born in Bethlehem. Well, go back to John chapter 10 now. And let's see what he said, and think about what he said, and who is the... Listen to what he says. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Jesus is talking about the difference between himself and this Satan who entered in illegally. He came in illegally. Jesus came into the earth legally. He was born through the womb of a woman. He had a legal entry, legal access. And because he came through the womb of a woman, he's the sheep, he's the shepherd of the sheep. Is that what it says? "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." All he's doing is talking about himself and Satan. How he came in legally, sent by God. The serpent came in illegally. Yes, sir. Was you waving your hand? I thought you had a question. All right. All right. So he says, one that climbs up some other way or that came into the earth illegally is a thief and a robber. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Now let's read down a little further. Verse 3, let's read 2 and 3 together. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. Now he's talking about another door here. He's not talking about the entrance into the sheepfold. He's talking about the doorkeeper to the sheep. The doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. Listen. Listen to me. It's the Holy Spirit that enables you to hear the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit. You men are the sheep of God's pasture, and it's the Holy Spirit that opens the door, makes the way for you to follow the shepherd. You remember what David said? The Lord is my shepherd. You know why the Lord is your shepherd? Because the Father has drawn you to Himself. He made a way for you to hear through the Holy Spirit drawing you to the Father. Listen, Jesus, in the 16th chapter of John, Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." People say, "Well, I found the Lord." No, He wasn't lost. You know, people get saved and they say, "I found the Lord. Praise God, I'm saved. I found the Lord." No, you didn't find the Lord. He found you. He wasn't lost.
You were.
Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." And so God, listen, brothers. God's had a purpose and a plan in your life for before you were born into this earth. He said, "I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb." And so God has a plan. And here's the thing. Adam and Eve missed it. They fell short because the serpent came into the garden illegally, came into the earth illegally, came into the sheepfold illegally. But Jesus was born, came in through the womb of a woman. He came in through the door to the sheepfold. Now, let's look down at verse 7. Listen to what Jesus said. Let's start at verse 6 and it'll help you see even. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which He spoke to them. Most people, when they read that today, still don't understand. He's still using that illustration, but people still don't understand. He came legally into the earth. The serpent was here illegally. He didn't have a right to be there. Adam could have thrown him out, could have said, "Get out, shut up and get out of this garden." But Adam didn't use it, didn't use the authority. And so listen to verse 7 now. Jesus said to them again. You see, now the first time He talked about the door into the sheepfold, but now He's talking about something else. Listen. Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Now let me erase some of this and get it out of the way so you can see. Jesus said, "I am the door." What does it say? Of the sheep? Door of the sheep. Alright, now, so what's He talking about? What? He's not talking about the same door. He says, first the door into the sheepfolds, the womb of a woman, but now He says, "I am." I am the door of the sheep. He is the door of the sheep to what?
To your heart.
Well, He's closer. He's closer. He's the door of the sheep into the kingdom. And I'll show you how. Let me erase this over here. He says, "I'm the door of the sheep to the kingdom." Now you say, well, He didn't say king. He didn't say kingdom. But let me show you. You see, you got to line up Scripture with Scripture. It's not all just laid out there for you. You've got to read the Scripture and understand what He said. Because the Scripture says that He spoke in parables. We just read verse 6, Jesus used this illustration. He was talking to them in parables. Now go back to chapter 3. You say, well, how come it's not lined up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Well, because he's... Listen, God hid it for you. He didn't hide it from you. Do you understand the difference? Something hid for you, but not from you. If it was hid from you, you'd never find it. But it's hid for you, and there are keys to understand if you search the Scriptures. Now listen to what he says in chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." And he was saying, into the kingdom. When you receive Jesus as Lord, you're born again. Write this verse down. Write it down so you can go look at it a little later. I'm going to give it to you. Give you a minute. Write this. I'm just going to give you the reference and you can go look at it. It's Colossians chapter 1. C-O-L, Colossians is the abbreviation. C-O-L, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Here's what it says. "Giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. When you were born again, when you received Jesus as Lord, Jesus was the door into the kingdom. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The kingdom of darkness is this present evil world that we all live under the authority of Satan. You remember? Satan came in illegally. Adam and Eve came under his authority when they obeyed him rather than obeying God. Write this. Here's another verse you can write down to go look at. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. But Jesus came to give you a door out of this present evil world, not to bring you... You're not going to leave here, but you're going to be out from under the control of the devil, is what I'm trying to say. Out from under the sway of the wicked one. And the new birth does that. Translates you into the kingdom. So John 3, he says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5 says, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom." Now, you say, well, you have to be baptized to get in the kingdom. No. He said water and the Spirit. You have to be born of water and the Spirit. What that says is, and then listen to what he says, verse 6, "That which is born of flesh is flesh." Did you know when you were born through your mother's womb, when you came through the door into this earth, you were born of water?
Yes.
Ask a woman. Listen to women talk. When they had the baby, their water broke. Did you ever hear them say that?
Yes.
If you ever had a kid or had a woman that had a baby, she talked about her water breaking. Yeah. That's you born of water. That's your natural birth into this earth. But to be born again into the kingdom of God is your spiritual birth. That which is born of water is the flesh birth. That which is born of the Spirit is the birth into the kingdom. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
You have to understand that. A lot of the church has taught us that when you baptize, you're born of water. They say it's being baptized in water. You know, the water baptism. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about water baptism. Because he explained it in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You're born of flesh is born of water. Born of the Spirit is the new birth. And so Jesus is the door into the kingdom. He's talking about two doors there in John chapter 10. One is the door into the earth. The other is the door into the kingdom of God, which is actually here. Jesus said the kingdom of God is right here among us. Kingdom of God is at hand, he said. It's right here, right now. But he also said it's within you. You say, well, I don't understand all that. Well, that's why it's called a mystery. Something that's hidden. We don't fully understand it all. It's not all revealed to us, but he is in the process of enabling us to understand as we search the scriptures and as we draw near to him and listen for the voice of the shepherd. Go back to chapter 10 now and let's talk about this some more. In Psalms 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still water." Well, how does he lead me? Well, here's how. John chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before him and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." The shepherd leads by his voice. You say, well, God don't ever say nothing to me. Well, that's because you hadn't learned how to listen. You ever hear, I know some people that are musicians. And their ears are tuned, and they hear things I don't hear. I can listen to the same music that they're listening to, and they hear things I don't hear, because I'm not a musician. They hear, they can tell you if a guy's guitar's not in tune. I wouldn't know the difference. Sound good to me, but he said, no, his guitar's off a little bit. Because their ears are tuned in to that kind of thing. Well, you can learn how to listen to Jesus, but you have to know how he talks. And the way to know how Jesus talks is to get into this book. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." You say, what's that? Well, that means that God the Father, God the Son, saying the same thing. And when you read this book, God's Word, you're learning how to hear. Let me tell you something. I've been reading this Bible since I was a 10 or 11 year old boy. And it's only been in the last 20 years, less than 20 years, that this thing I'm sharing with you in John chapter 10, that I ever understood. It just came from reading and reading and reading it again. And finally, you know what? You see, what happens is we just read it and we don't think about what we read. But if you stop and think about it and ask questions, when you ask God questions, God will give you answers. Yes. He will. You say, well, how does he give you answers? Because as you read the book and think about it and ask questions, then God will give you thoughts. God will talk to you through your thoughts. If you've been taking this book in and meditating on this book, then the Holy Spirit has something with which to bring. See, this. I was just here the other day that this connection between Psalms 23 and chapter 10 that I ever saw. All you got to do, I'll tell you what you do. And take your Bible. Any of y'all got some time to study? Take your Bible and read Psalms 23 and write down some key words out of it. And then go to John chapter 10 and see what Jesus says. Write down some key words and see if those things don't connect together, just like I'm telling you. See, he says, "I am the shepherd." David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus, your Lord, says, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd of the sheep. And so, as you read this here, he says that they learn to follow him by his voice. He said, when he brings out, verse 4, 10, John 10, 4, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You learn to listen for his voice. You learn to listen for those thoughts that He gives you. Thoughts that didn't come from your mind. You aren't that smart. I'm not that smart. I get thoughts from the Spirit of God. I'll share this with you. I'll just give you a thought that came to me one day here several months ago. I walking down the road early one morning. I get out and walk before daylight. And I pray and just meditate on what I've been reading. And I'm walking down the road and I had this thought. And it just come in my head. Any of y'all ever just had a thought just come in your head? You don't know where it come from? Well, sometimes it comes from God. Sometimes it's the devil. But I'm walking down the road and I had this thought. And this is what the thought, what I heard. Noah, now listen, Noah could not have finished the assignment that I had given him if it hadn't have been for his sons. How many of you know about Noah in the Old Testament? Had three sons. And those three sons helped him build. God told Noah to build the ark. He didn't tell him sons. The Bible don't say nothing about God talking to any of Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When God spoke to Noah in the sixth chapter of Genesis. Later, in the ninth chapter of Genesis, it says God spoke to Noah and his sons. But in chapter 6, it just says God said to Noah. So here's the deal. God gave Noah an assignment. Build this ark, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. How'd you like to, out of wood, and you don't have even a chainsaw? Took them 100 years, the four of them doing it. Here's the issue. If Noah hadn't had those sons, he couldn't have done what God said do. And here's the rest of the story. If he hadn't have trained those sons to listen to his voice. You see, do you know what? These weren't little boys. These were grown men. They had wives. It says they did. And Noah just told them what God said to him. And they committed with him to do what God said do. But they never heard God's voice. They heard their father's voice. So hearing the voice of God is important. Learning how, and listen, here's the rest of the story. Learning how to hear the voice of the one who is in authority over you is important as well. And here's how it works. And you listen to what I'm fixing to say right now. If you do not learn to listen to the voice of the one who is in authority over you in the earth, you will not be able to hear the voice of God in the realm of the Spirit. Because the Scripture says first the natural, then the spiritual. When you learn how to come under authority, natural authority. And you know what I'm talking about right now for you guys? I'm talking about these guys, the ones that are in authority are these guys walking around with the keys. You say, well, I don't like them guys. I know you. Some of them may not be likable people. But they're the authority. And Romans 13 says that every authority that exists was put there by God. So when you learn how to listen to the authority that God has presently put in your life, the Bible says, oh, 1 Peter chapter 5. I hadn't thought about going this way, but this is how God's bringing me, so I'm going to share it with you. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. I'm going to write it down. 1 Peter 5, 6. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Yes, that He may exalt you in due time. Well, let me tell you what. I'm going to just write it down. Today, and I'm going to just say it like this, today, the mighty hand of God is the natural authority that God has placed over you. When you learn to hear the voice of the natural authority, then you can learn more easily to hear the voice of the spiritual authority. Okay, listen to me. Listen, guys, look at me. Let me have your eyes. First of all, I want you to know I love you. And I didn't come here to say anything to anybody to hurt your feelings. But let me tell you something. Do you know why you're here? Because in the beginning, when you were young, you didn't learn to listen to those who spoke with authority to you. You disobeyed. Somewhere along the line, you practiced disobeying. I want to do what I want to do. I don't like what they're telling me. You say, well, I obeyed my mom and daddy. Well, some of you did, some of you didn't. But somewhere along the line, there was a natural authority that you practiced disobeying. Whether it was a teacher, your mom and dad. Listen, I'm not saying these things to you to hurt you. I'm wanting you to see the precept. Because if you do not learn to come under the natural authority that God puts you under, then you won't ever come under the spiritual authority. Amen. And when you learn to listen to the voice of the mighty hand of God, which is whatever natural authority is in your life at the moment, you say, well, those guys couldn't be an instrument in God's hands. Yes, they can. They don't have to even be saved people to be an instrument in God's hand. I can show you in the Bible where God calls a guy called Nebuchadnezzar His servant. Anybody know who Nebuchadnezzar was? He was the king of Babylon. He was the king of a pagan country, and God called him My servant. God worked through that man to accomplish some of His purposes. And so I don't care who the guys are carrying the keys here. They've been given authority. Go to Romans 13 so you see. Some of you looking funny. Brothers, believe me. I love you. I don't have anything but the love of God in my heart for you. Most of you, I don't know where you come from. I don't know why you're here, and I don't even care. I have never yet. I've been going for a lot of years into correctional facilities, and I have never yet asked a man why he's there. It don't make no difference. It's none of my business. I don't need to know why you're here. But I know what got you here. You didn't learn how to listen to authority. Because there ain't a one of you guys here that whatever it was you did that got you here, you knew you wasn't doing what you were supposed to be doing. Am I lying?
No.
Okay. So, you disregarded authority. And you, when you disregard authority, there's a price to pay. It's always that way. Now, look at what it says in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authority. For there is no authority except from God. The guys walking around here carrying the key have authority. And it ultimately came from God. That woman walking right there, going through the door, she's got keys. She's an authority here, and she got that authority from God, whether she knows it or not. Are you hearing me? I said that for her benefit too. But you say, well, she's just hired and she gets paid. Yeah, but all down, you see the government system, everything, God's the one that set up governments. There was a government in the garden. God was the king. Are you hearing me? And so anybody that's got authority, that's what it says. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and authorities that exist are appointed by God. You say, well, why? Talk to God and let Him tell you. If you don't believe that, you won't believe anything I say. So, here's the deal. 1 Peter 6, 5, 6 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So when you humble yourself under the authority that God has put in your life, then you begin to get practice listening to the voice, and then it'll be easier for you to hear the voice of the authority of the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? The Bible says first the natural. Let me see if I can find it. I think I know where it is. 1 Corinthians 15. It says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spirit, the spiritual. Now he's talking about Adam in the garden, and Adam, the second Adam. How many of you know there were two Adams in two gardens? There was Adam in the Garden of Eden, and there was another Adam in the Garden of Gethsemane. Another man. The word Adam just means man. There was a man in the Garden of Eden, and there was a man in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's what it's talking about there. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. So there is a precept. Listen to what I'm saying. If Chaplain doesn't... Are you wanting to say something to everybody, Chaplain? Okay, well, the rest of you guys, look over here. He ain't got nothing for you. He's giving us a precept here that first the spiritual things and then the natural. If you don't learn to come under natural authority, you'll never learn to come under spiritual authority. It just works that way. I wish it was easier, but I didn't set up the system. God did. He's the one that's in charge. And I have to... How many of you know God's pretty one-wayed about stuff? Amen. It's His way or the highway. You can go with Him or not.
Amen.
And I figure you're here because you're wanting to go with what He's doing. So I'm telling you how it works. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and the mighty hand of God right now is whoever the natural authority is in your life. As you learn to listen to that, and then you get some practice, you begin to hear the voice of the Spirit too.
Amen. Amen.
And that's good news, guys. It really is. It really is good news. Now let's go back to John chapter 10 and we'll look at another couple of verses here. And then I'm going to go. Brothers, I love you. I appreciate you letting me work on you. I know I've been a little hard on you this afternoon. But it's because I love you. You know, I ain't trying to beat on you and make you feel bad. I want you to hear truth. I wanted to get through. Sometimes we got a pretty thick thing up here that you have to get through it. Because we all got certain ways of thinking. If we hear something new or different, we say, I don't understand that. Well, it don't mean you can't understand if you decide to. Now, Jesus said this, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Then he says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. You remember the little picture I drew about the guy, the one that came in illegally into the sheepfold?
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about here. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. He came into the sheepfold to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. You know what abundant life is? I'm going to go back to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's abundant life. I don't want because the Lord's my shepherd. But I have to come under the mighty hand of God. I have to learn how to hear His voice. I have to follow Him. When I follow the shepherd, when I learn to hear the voice of the shepherd and I follow Him, then that abundant life that He promised is mine. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. But I have to learn to listen.
Amen.
it just boils down to this, guys. As you learn to listen here, as you learn to listen, you learn to listen by coming under the mighty hand of God. Look here. I know when these guys come in here and tell you to do something, they're probably not nice. But you keep your attitude clear and clean. You respond to them as unto the Lord. Because their voice is the mighty hand of God. As you learn to obey and come under and don't talk back, don't be angry, just do what you're told. You say, well, they're not nice. They don't treat me right. Probably they don't. But I don't know. Maybe they woke up and had a bad day. Maybe their wife fussed at them before they left the house. I don't know. Maybe, no telling. Maybe their washing machine broke and all kinds of stuff going on in their lives. And they angry and upset and hurting. And you learn to listen and respond like you're responding to the Lord. I can show you a scripture that says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Because they are the mighty hand of God. And as you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that same verse says He will exalt you or lift you up in due season. Stand up with me and let's pray. Blessed be God. Father, I thank You today. I thank You that You've given us something to look at. You've shown us what we need to listen to. Father, our desire is to follow Your voice. We want to learn how to hear what You're saying and see what You're doing. And I ask, Father, for these words to sink down deep in the hearts of these Your sons. And let it bring forth fruit in their lives. Fruit that will bring honor and glory to You and bring joy to them. And I thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.